What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Super Gamer Boys. I'm your host, Colonel and Dad, Garrett Morlang, and here in the virtual studio with me is the king of video games and elite tastemaker, Mr. Tastemaker himself, Adrian Homeboy Holmes. What's up,
That's Adrian? Me. I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Oh, I am doing all right. Hanging in there.
Hey, doing as good as we can be, huh?
Doing as good as possible. Yeah. Yeah, it's been, I've actually had my parents in town this last week. So that's been
really
kind of fun having them in town and visiting with them. I mean, the biggest thing, my kids love it. You know, I enjoy it too, but
right.
I feel like the days tend to turn into, like, since, you know, I have kids, it's just like, oh, obviously my parents want to see their grandkids and like, all right.
Cool. And you know, grandma and grandpa, whenever they come over, they're getting ready to spoil the kids rotten. And they know that too.
Totally. Yeah. So it turns into like, all right, cool. I guess it's fine. I guess I didn't want to spend that much time with my parents, you know.
But I mean, they spent decades with you.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. They spent about 17 years of my life with
exactly.
Me, so that's a good chunk of time. But yeah, it's been good. They, spoiling the kids and, just yesterday and today put together, they got them some Lego sets and they put them together. I was like, man,
oh, what kind?
I remember those days when I was a kid putting together Lego sets and my dad and stuff like that. It was always a blast. So it's fun to like look and see my kids doing it with them now.
Was it specific sets or that big bucket?
No, they got specific sets. My son my oldest Shep got some kind of a safari one. It was like, it was really cool. Came with like a bunch of jeeps and lions and snakes and animals and stuff like that, like animal rescue thing.
Right.
And then the other one got my youngest, which is funny because it was like a 4-year-old set. It's designed for like young little kids. It's not Duplo. It's still regular.
I was gonna
Lego.
Say, but not Duplo.
It's still regular Lego, but it's like just super simplistic. But Shep is like 6, 7. I don't know. He's older now, but he was like super stoked. But then my youngest, he's only like 3. They got him a set and I was like, oh, you got him like a 4-year-old set too, right? Because he's done big Legos, like, but like the 4-year-old sets. And they're
right.
They pull out the box and it was like a 6 or 7-year-old set. It's like swapped. I'm like, why don't you give the one you gave to Shep to Griff and the one to Griff to Shep? I don't know. It was funny.
And they're like, look, kid, we know what we're doing. Yeah. All
right. No, well, I just said, I was like, you're putting it together with him then, right? Like, that's not on me to put a 6-year-old set together.
We're not
with
his
a 3-year-old.
Parents. What are you talking about?
And so they did. That's what they did the last couple of days, is build a plane, a stunt plane, a tractor trailer, and then that animal rescue one. So, all right, that's cool. That's fun.
Good, man. It's always good to get quality time in. You know, you only see grandma and grandpa so often. They live on the other side of the country.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's always
thing.
Nice when they come in.
They're on the opposite side of the country over in New York. So it's like, I don't get to see them very often. So it's good. Good times. Hold up here. I'm happy. Couple technical. Okay, cool. The chat disappeared.
Not this early.
I like to have the chat so I can see just in case anyone's hanging out while we're live recording it. That's right. If you listening to this later in the week, like on Wednesday when it releases on podcast and YouTube, we do actually live stream the recording on over at twitch.tv/thesupergamerboys and over on youtube.com/supergamerboys. So if you want to join us during the live recording, just stop on by and hang out in the chat. A lot of times we interact with you guys during the show, so.
Nice to have another perspective.
Yeah, so now I have the chat up, so that means we are ready to announce that today we're going to be talking about WB. That's right, WB Games over there doubling down on live service games while also delisting titles. What a wild, like, that, I don't know. It's been crazy that this week there's two pretty significant news stories here about WB. I don't know if that's a good thing or
neither
a bad
of them
thing.
Good.
Yeah, that's not neither really good, but we will also be remembering Akira Toriyama's legacy here. But first, let's give a quick shout out to our Patreon producers. We got Bubble Smash, Kajoma01, and our Super Gamer sponsors, Julie Bates, Mama Mare, and Carrie. If you want to be awesome just like those folks, head over to patreon.com/supergamerboys where you can support us starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1 gets you episodes early and ad-free, such as this show, as well as our Patreon exclusive Super Later Boys, comes out each and every month. You can get access to that only on Patreon, which we should probably record the next one sometime soon here because it's about...
That's a good idea.
usually in the middle-ish of the month we release it. We don't really have a hard set date on that, just once a month. So yeah, maybe we'll get recording that and get that out to you folks soon. You have five previous episodes to check out, as well as Super Gamer Book Club seasons, both season two with Adrian ad-free, and then season one you can only get on Patreon, hosted by Zetch back in the day. Go check it out. We'll talk more about a Patreon later on the show. Real quick here, I do want to give a huge shout out to Jack Sriracha, Yate, and DJ Truths for allowing us to use their music on our show. Currently, I think I have Jack Sriracha and Yate playing here in the background. So if you're enjoying that, make sure to go look them up on Apple Music and Spotify. Links will be in the show description on YouTube and podcast services. Just scroll down to that description, click on those links. Apple Music and Spotify, that's where you can find those folks. And with that, I think it's time to check the mail. And I believe Super Gamerbot's finally like back in business, right?
Back in the house.
They're back. All right. So let me go ahead and boot that up real quick here. Let's see if I can. It's been a while. I gotta find the switch here.
That's right. I'm back. How's it going, boys? Been a while. What's new?
It has been a while. Good to hear from you, Super Gamer Bot. Oh, man.
Been good, man.
Yeah. So, Super Gamer Bot, do you mind throwing that first question at us?
Well, we only have one question today. Okay. So here goes. Penguin90 asked, what's your favorite kind of popcorn?
What's your favorite kind of popcorn? All right, we got one question today. What's your favorite kind of popcorn?
Now, before we get started, there's a lot of ways that we could go with this.
Okay.
Are we talking about favorite kind of popcorn? Are we talking about favorite brand of popcorn? Because we can say kettle corn. You could say some weirdos put candy in their popcorn. Yes, that's the thing.
No,
that's
get out of here. Get out of here with that.
Right? So some people, which I do, the popcorn seasoning, you know, like the cheddar or the ranch or whatever else, you know, little seasoning you could put on there. Yeah. That's pretty good. Now, if you want to talk about favorite popcorn of all time, Disneyland popcorn. Disneyland popcorn is so delicious. If I ever had to explain to somebody what popcorn is and how it tastes, like as an example, anywhere on earth, I would bring Disneyland popcorn. It's that good.
Okay. Wow. I've never been to Disneyland, Disney World, anything like that. So I don't know anything about it. It's not just your normal like movie theater popcorn.
I don't know what they do to it. I don't know if they have their own kernels or if they grow them or what, but whatever they do to that popcorn, dude, almost every kernel.
Is it sweet or savory?
It's savory.
Okay. So is it like buttery or just salty?
It's buttery and just salty enough, not too salty. And there's never any burned kernels. I've never had burned kernels in mine. And it's just, man, you could just eat and eat and eat. It's so good.
That's awesome. For me, I don't know why. What pops in my head immediately when I think of just popcorn, you would think it would be like, oh, movie theater popcorn, right? Or something like that. Wrong. The first thing that pops in my head is Christmas time and the big metal tin with the three popcorns.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The caramel one, the cheddar one, and the regular one.
Yeah, and the butter. It's just like, it's all artificially flavored. It's not real butter.
Of course.
It's not real cheese. It's not real nothing.
It don't matter. It tastes good.
But man, it was so good. Now, as a kid, the cheese one, the cheddar one was my favorite. I would just demolish that.
Really?
Oh man, so good. But now, like as an adult, the artificial cheese flavor isn't.
Don't hit the same?
Not the same. I don't hate it, but it's just like, oh, I don't know if I love this either. What I've gotten into recently, and it still involves cheese flavor, but it's like a little higher quality, not much quality. Let's be honest. But what I love is, I wish I could remember the brand, because then this would make really nail it down that I know what I'm talking about. But I'm just gonna—it's at Costco that you can usually buy. It's a ginormous bag, you know, big, uh-huh. like the same height as me, basically, you know, Costco size portions of food. It's like a bag the size of me, about 50-pound bag of the, in that different parts of the country, they have different names for it. But when I lived in Wisconsin, it was called Chicago Mix, and it was cheese and caramel. They mix cheese and caramel together.
I'm not upset with that. Sweet and savory.
And let me tell you, like, if I, so if I had to choose, like, a good just caramel corn is great. If I'm, I have a really sweet tooth. If not, kettle corn, fantastic, because it's like sweet and savory. But if I had my choice, it would be picking up one of those bags from Costco of the Chicago mix, where it's that cheese and caramel together. Oh, it's just a match made in heaven. It sounds strange, cheese and caramel, but man, in popcorn form, there is something I just cannot deny it. It is fantastic.
So, I want to give an honorable mention to a new player on the scene. Well, at least new to me. There's a brand out there called Lesser Evil. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's a popcorn brand called Lesser Evil.
I haven't.
And I forget what exactly they cook their popcorn in sunflower oil.
Oh, okay.
And there's this process that, like, it's a proprietary process that they use to kind of keep the popcorn, you know, real fluffy and light. Like, they do something with the kernels to make the moisture work out. So it's not really as oily feeling or as, you know, greasy or anything like that. But the kernels are really soft. And it's really good. Really good popcorn. So Lesser Evil popcorn. I think it's at Target and I think it's at Costco, but it's a really good brand that I would put my stamp on.
Okay.
You know.
So I looked up
that you don't have to go to Disneyland to get, you know, popcorn. If you needed to get it anywhere else, I would recommend that. Lesser Evil popcorn.
Okay, so the one I like is GH Craters. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it anywhere other than Costco. But I do have to give a huge shout out to I totally forgot about it until I just did a quick Google search. There is a popcorn brand based out of Chicago called Garrett Popcorn. And I remember as a gift one year when I was living in Wisconsin, someone got me some Garrett popcorn. It's spelled the same way as my name and everything. It's just like a big old, it just says Garrett on the popcorn shop on the side. I'm like, heck yeah.
Nobody's mistaken whose that is.
It's that's my popcorn. That's mine. So,
Oh, so wait. One more shout out. Sorry.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. The brand, I don't know. Have you heard of Popcornopolis?
Oh, I think so.
They're the ones that sell them in the bags that kind of do like this, like a cone shape.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if they still have it, but they had a cinnamon toast crunch flavor of popcorn. Divine.
That sounds amazing.
You can only have a little bit of it though, because it's so rich and so sweet. But the little kernels that you do, oh, that's good eating if you have a sweet tooth.
Now, who would have thought we could just talk for like 15 minutes about popcorn on a video game podcast?
I told you. I said this is a multifaceted topic. You were worried. I got you.
I initially was like even hesitated to put it on the show because I'm like, do we talk? Are we going to get anything out of this? And here we go. We just informed you guys. It wasn't necessarily funny. I'll be flat out about that. But you know what? It was informative, and I'm glad we talked about it.
And entertaining.
Yeah, I'm glad we talked about it because now I want some popcorn. And the next time we go to Costco, we'll be buying some of that Chicago mix.
There you go.
Oh, man. So good. Well, thank you, Penguin, for writing in. And I do want to give a huge shout out to our Discord over there. You should join it. Supergamerboys.com/Discord. It's that easy. And it's free to join. And you can chat with us throughout the week about games you're playing, about movies you're watching, music you're listening to. Or if you just want to vent about something crappy going on in your life, like whatever, do it over there. But we also have a cool little channel called Submit to Mail Channel or Mailbag. Submit Mailbag. That's what it is. I should probably get it straight, right? Where you can write in your questions. That's probably the easiest way. Or just DM us on social media. Be like, hey, ask this question on the show. And then write your question. That'd be fantastic because we need more for the show, for both this one and Super Later Boys. We were hoping to be able to start answering fun topics and questions on Super Later Boys, and we just haven't quite gotten enough. So we've had to do our own work. Come on, dang it. We had to come up with our own topics.
Yeah, make Gamerbot do some work.
Yeah, Super Gamerbot wants to do some
work. All they do is sit around here, huh?
Oh, don't let them hear they say that.
I ain't scared of Gamerbot.
They've gone on strike once before. All right.
soaking up electricity.
Again. Oh, no.
Bringing our power bill up.
Oh, don't. We don't need you becoming the Bobby Kotick of Super Gamer Boys here. Come on. Let's not be.
I'm the boss.
Well, real quick. Did you? I saw a headline somewhere. I didn't really read the article.
That he wanted to buy TikTok?
He wants to buy
Absolutely
TikTok.
Absolutely not. Shut it down. Shut it down. Before he gets a hold of it, go ahead. Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Absolutely not.
Oh, man. When I saw that, I just laughed. I'm like, of course he would. Of course he would.
First, I ruined the gaming industry. Now I'm going to ruin the social media industry.
That's the equivalent of Elon buying Twitter. 100%. Oh, man. He's going to make it
worse,
terrible.
Though.
Just
I feel
shut
like
it
it's
down.
Worse, though. Because, like, Elon, like...
Really? Because they're both terrible people.
But Bobby Kotick's on another level, I feel like. Where, like, just with, like, some of the... Like, I feel like Elon... So far, we haven't heard about threatening to murder people and
sexually assaulting
people at work.
He is the richest man in the world,
like
so he could threaten people and get away with it.
That's true.
Just cover it up, pay people not to say anything. So,
yeah, you never know. But yeah, Bobby, when I saw that, I'm like, he leaves Activision Blizzard.
Please,
like,
God.
And he's like, all right, sign me up. I'm buying TikTok next. Like, whoa, easy, dude.
Hey, how does this TikTok work? I don't even know if that's how he talks.
I've never heard him
that's
talk.
That's how he
You're
does
right.
to me. How does this TikTok work? I mean, can I buy it?
Looking at a picture of him, that's what he sounds like in my mind. Like, he has that look where he's kind of like a, like that more like kind of evil crony kind of sound. Like,
I'm Bobby Kotick.
Like kind of sleazy sound.
Want to make a deal?
Yeah. Like sleazy businessman. That's
you, how come you're not working on Call of Duty?
All right, we should probably move on here before we get in trouble.
By who? Bobby Kotick? He doesn't run anything anymore.
I mean, you never know. You never know. Maybe one day he'll buy us out. Then I'd quit. Just made straight up.
Yep. I just tell everybody, hey, we are no longer associated with that brand. Best of luck.
Best of luck.
You know what we'll do? We'll finesse him.
We're taking Super GamerBot with us. No.
Well, of course, yeah. But I'm saying what we'll do is we'll sell it to him, take the money, and just start up a whole new thing.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Just the same format, same everything, just change the name.
Hey, Bobby Kotick, you want to buy our podcast? We got a cool thing going over here.
Yeah. And then we'll just start a whole, just the same format, everything. Yeah. It'll just be a new name, but we'll have tons of money.
Man,
thanks a lot, Bobby.
Sounds great. That's my new plan for life, is just to keep making things that Bobby Kotick might buy. Just, you know, because you never know. Maybe I should email him. I need to find his email. I'll reach out to him as soon as possible.
Bobby@money.com.
Until he hears this episode, then he's like, wait a second.
What do you mean? Why I order?
Okay, I think it's now time. For the nerdy nudes.
It's now time for the nerdy nudes.
Discord did me dirty that time. It cut you out. Last week I got the full experience. 360
I
surround
don't know
sound.
What changed. Don't
this
know
week,
what changed.
Discord's like, nah, not again. Never again. All right. Hopefully that worked. Yeah, it worked. You guys can see the news story there. So this first news story comes to us from IGN, written by Michael Crichton. WB Games.
Michael Crichton?
Michael Crichton.
The Jurassic Park writer?
Crichton, yes. Whoa. Exactly. WB Games says it plans to double down on live service despite Suicide Squad failing to meet expectations. Logical, right? Warner Brothers Games wants to further invest in live service even after Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League failed to impress. WB Discovery CEO and president of streaming and games, JB Perrette, spoke about the company's strategy during a recent Morgan Stanley event. He acknowledges that the success of projects like the single-player Hogwarts Legacy, which managed to be last year's best-selling game in the U.S., but says the business of AAA console releases can be volatile.
What?
All right. That's a great business when you have a hit like Hogwarts Legacy and makes the year look amazing, Perrette said. Unfortunately, we also have disappointments. We just released Suicide Squad this quarter, which was not as strong. It just makes it very volatile. I don't think he knows what a live service game is, because
that's what it sounds like.
Because it sounds like he thinks that Suicide Squad Killer Justice League is not a live service game. I don't think he realizes that it is that game is a live service game.
Right. And you greenlit it.
But he's saying that it's not, that connection's not firing in his, that synapse is not firing there to make that connection. But anyways, I digress. He explains that Warner Brothers is looking at its four major franchises, Mortal Kombat, Game of Thrones, Harry Potter, and DC, and is hoping to expand in the mobile and multi-platform free-to-play space.
Oh my God.
I cannot wait to play the Mortal Kombat Match 3 phone game.
All the worst things you can make a game out of.
Oh boy. And is hoping to expand, blah blah blah. It will take some time for WB efforts to come to fruition, with Perret estimating we'll see the impact between 2025 and 2027. He does say though that the company will release free mobile free-to-play titles later this year. Within the studio segment, we're doubling down on games as an area where we think there's a lot more growth opportunity, that we can tap into the IP that we have and some of the capabilities on the studio side, where we're uniquely positioned as both a publisher and a developer of games, he says. This pivot will see the company emphasizing its live service offerings too. Pret is interested, for example, in creating an ongoing project set in the world of Harry Potter. So we're going to get Suicide Kill the Justice League, but with Harry Potter. Cool, right?
It's already that. It's just single player. All you have to do with Hogwarts Legacy is just add three more players in.
Well, what are you talking and put it about? Online. Hogwarts Legacy is not online. So yeah.
That's, I know, I'm just saying. Like, add three more players and make it online, and that's, and add a metric ton of microtransactions, and there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Rather than launching a one and done console game, how do we develop a game around, for example, Hogwarts Legacy or Harry Potter, that's a live service where people can live and work and build and play in the world on an ongoing basis, he says. It's a strategy that we'll see Warner Brothers leaning on its billion-dollar IP in a way that's meant to create consistent revenue streams. The goal is to create meaningful growth in games over the next couple years. Meanwhile, many already view the company Suicide Squad as a live service project, even though its developer, Rocksteady Games, seems uninterested in using it as a label. As for the Harry Potter universe, WB has been clear that it wants to create more adventures in the universe, including a Quidditch game. So that's where all the, like, this problem, this whole thing boils down to the one big problem, where Rocksteady and WB, they don't think that Suicide Squad is a live service game, but it is. It has all the core tenets of a live service game, and I don't understand. I don't know how. Like, even,
are
like,
we the stupid
I understand.
Ones?
I understand the executives at WB thinking that way, but the fact that Rocksteady isn't willing to call it that either, I'm like, Rocksteady, you know better. You know better than that. Like, this is a live service game. You've made Destiny, but with DC and bad.
I wonder if they don't want to call it a live service because it's a live service and it's negative, and they know it is one that they never wanted to make, and they're upset they had to make it into that.
Yeah, probably. One thing that seems wild to me as well is with this whole news story. Imagine Rocksteady, who made the incredible Arkham trilogy, and they're going to be like, hey, we're putting you on our mobile game team. You're going to make us some mobile games. Imagine that. The people who made the hits, Arkham City, Arkham Asylum, and all of a sudden they're
quit.
Hey, now can you make Arkham Asylum, but a card game that's free to play on iPhone and Android or something? Like,
can you make us Arkham Snap?
I don't. That's sad. Like, that's really sad. Right? Like, that makes me so sad that Rocksteady won't ever be able to, unless they do what Aspyr and Toys for Bob Bit did, where they just, last week we talked about,
go independent.
They bought themselves out and went independent. Like, they're locked into doing that because WB has them by the nads. It's like, what do you do? They own us.
I don't know. I mean, I guess you'd have to, let's you know, take it back to the top, right? Mm-hmm. I don't understand the executives thinking at WB with this. You had a game which is essentially being billed as a live service game, even though you don't want to call it that, that by your own admission underperformed, right? Mm-hmm. So why then would you go and double down on the thing that you know clearly underperformed? What is the long-term goal here, right? Also, what?
Real quick, just to address that, like, obviously from what we've seen from this article, what they think a live service game is what we would call just a mobile game. That's where the disconnect is, because like everything they explained was just kind of like either a mobile game or their version of a live service game is a mobile game. And basically what he described was like Final Fantasy 14 or like an MMO. They want to make MMOs in mobile games. Yeah, but bad. So that's where the most wild thing about this article comes down to like, oh, their definition of live service game is, oh, it's an MMO or a mobile game. It's like, well, no, not necessarily. Not necessarily.
But the crazy thing about this is, right, they said that they want to utilize all their IPs, right? If you make a live service game, you're asking the player to have a multiple hundred thousand hour years long commitment to this one property, right? You can't make multiple live service games and expect players to play every single one. And I know you're going to say, well, you can make different games for different fan bases, but
yeah, if they make multiple live service games for each IP, I think they get away with it. Cause yeah, those are like, okay, people who are into DC aren't necessarily into Harry Potter and aren't necessarily into
the wide net like they want to,
once they start making more games though, within the same IP, then yeah, that's where you're, problem runs into is like, all right, you want to make a Hogwarts Legacy live service game, but you also want to make a Quidditch game. It's like, well, okay, like I don't know. Although Quidditch, you can't really make live service. That I assume that would be a
listen. Like a, don't like you a ever FIFA. Say that you can't make anything alive? You can make anything a live service game. If
WB is like challenge accepted,
right?
In my head, it would be more like FIFA, but I guess FIFA's riddled with microtransactions as well too. So it's like,
there you go.
Imagine Quidditch, but it's like
there
a
you go.
FIFA
Quidditch,
game.
Quidditch player card packs.
Oh,
you
no.
can buy different skins. Oh. There's gonna be different seasons, different Quidditch seasons.
Yeah, ultimate See? Player.
Quidditch ultimate player. Quidditch ultimate team.
So good.
I hate corporate greed, man. I don't know where they're going with this. I don't know if they know where they're going with this. It reeks of we're getting desperate. What can we do to try to make any kind of a dollar, right? And yeah. We know that WB as a whole right now is going on a cutting spree. They're going on a cutting spree with that Discovery merger. Didn't they just, chopped all of Rooster Teeth off.
Yep.
Right? They've been canceling movies left and right. So I don't expect this same studio or this same company when it comes to games to have the best business acumen there either. I don't know. They're stuck. WB Games is stuck because they have to do what the parent company tells them. And the parent company is on a destroy it, cut it. We need to make money spree.
Yeah. They're shutting everything. Yeah. Rooster Teeth was just last week, which, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. I mean, I guess it happened after our show, but that was
devastating.
That was so
20,
sad.
20 plus year company gone in an instant.
Shut down. They're cutting movies. Like, what was that? There was that, the Acme one, the Wile E. Coyote movie.
Wile E. Coyote's been cut. The Batgirl movie, which was finished, right, has been cut.
Imagine.
I think they cut one more.
Finishing a movie and then
it's done.
Like, nah. Throw it in the trash.
Never mind.
Throw it in a bin.
That movie will never see the light of day unless somebody hacks into WB and takes it.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Yeah.
Nuts.
I don't know what they're up to over there. Which I guess leads into our next news story, actually. Also about WB. This next news story comes from Michael McWhirter over at Polygon. Warner Bros. Is now erasing games as it plans to delist Adult Swim published titles.
What are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, Warner Brothers Discovery is telling developers it's spent all that money to buy Discovery and buy all these other things, and then now they're like, oh wait, we can't afford it.
We actually can't afford this. Why did we do this? Oh well, cut them.
WB Discovery is telling developers it plans to start retiring games published by its Adult Swim Games label. Game makers who worked with the publisher tell Polygon, At least three games are under threat of being removed from Steam and other digital stores, with the fate of other games published by Adult Swim unclear. The media conglomerate planned removal of those games echoes cuts from its film and television business. Warner Brothers Discovery infamously scrapped plans to release nearly complete versions of movies Batgirl and Coyote vs. Acme, and removed multiple series from its streaming services. Warner Bros. Does go through with its plan to delist Adult Swim games from Steam and digital consoles. 18 or more games could be affected. News of the Warner Brothers plan to potentially pull Adult Swim games from Steam and PlayStation Store was first reported by the developer Owen Reedy, who released puzzle adventure game Small Radios, Big Televisions through the label in 2016. Reedy said on X, Tuesday the game was being retired by Adult Swim Games owner. He responded to the company's decision by making the Windows PC version of Small Radios, Big Televisions available to download for free from his studio's
website.
Let's go.
So, love it.
There you go. That's how people are combating it, is like the developers who made it is like, all right, I'll just give it away for free, I guess, on my own website. Which sucks, because then they'll miss out on money, but at least it's still available to the public.
Somebody will have it.
Polygon reached out to other developers who had worked with Adult Swim Games as a publisher, and two studios responded to say that they'd receive a similar warning from WB Discovery. They're still in the dark about what it means for their games. Developer Michael Molinari, who released Sound Dodger Plus through Adult Swim Games in 2013, told Polygon he received a warning from WB Discovery rep earlier this week that his game would be removed from Steam within the next 60 days. I don't know if they're delisting it or deleting it, Molinari told Polygon in email. I pleaded with the rep to transfer ownership to my company, as I still retain all IP and games rights. I sent him a link to Steam's transfer page and explained clearly that it takes literally three clicks to transfer ownership to me. He rejected my request. Crazy. Molinari said the WB Discovery representative and the decision not to transfer ownership back to developers stems from logistical and resource constraints and the limited capacity of our team. One developer Polygon spoke with said the current Adult Swim Games team consisted of a skeleton crew. Molinari expressed frustration that the WBD's planned removal of his game and others would lead to over a decade of downloads, community guides, reviews, and patch notes suddenly vanishing. According to Molinari, WB Discovery informed him that he's allowed to republish Sound Dodger Plus on Steam. That option presents its own issues. Doing so would erase all my wish list, reviews, community guides, and forum discussions, along with not allowing new and old owners of the games to compare achievements and trading cards, Molinari said. The other legal requirements republishing the game myself is to remove any and all mention of Adult Swim Games, Molinari said. I asked for clarification, and he even wants the credit sequence altered to remove the names of all the Adult Swim Games team. I'm a huge supporter of game preservation, and this is a direct blow to properly crediting the people that worked on a game. Wild, right? Matt Lewandowski, co-owner of Studio Team 2-Bit, the developer behind the Adult Swim game, published Fist Puncher, told Polygon that he'd also been contacted by WB Discovery with a similar warning. Lewandowski said that the rep blamed the impending removal of Fist Puncher on internal business changes. Same thing. They requested them to transfer the studio, and they said they can't transfer the game due to the fact that they made the decision not to transfer ownership due to logistical and resource restraints. So basically, he's not getting paid enough to do three clicks and transfer ownership over.
Literal insanity, bro.
Lewandowski's story sounds very similar. I'm not going to read the whole thing again, but yeah, basically the game's been out for 11 years. There's a huge community on Steam, and to republish it would not only be a logistical nightmare because they have to scrub Adult Swim Games from the thing, but all the reviews, all the game guides, all everything through Steam would just be gone. Just no more. Because it would basically be released as a new game. So it's wild what they're doing over there. But I brought this up because, like, the first thing that popped in my head is like, wow, at any moment, like, digital games, I love digital games, don't get me wrong, I buy all my games digital now. I haven't bought a physical game in
years.
Like, it's been probably like 7-8 years now. It's been a while. Death Stranding, whenever Death Stranding came out, but I don't think I played the physical version. I think I actually played it digitally, honestly. To think that at any moment, like, yeah, publishers could just be like, no, we're taking it down. It's gone. It is scary, but man, like, what is going on at WB right now? Like, they're just losing their minds from the last story to now this one, where they're just straight up telling, like, these people, like, hey, we're taking down your game, and we're not going to help you in any way whatsoever. Like, man, what a nightmare company, right?
And It's maddening how much they don't care about any creative endeavor, really. Like they claim they create about it, or they care about creatives, and then they pull stunts like this.
Yeah.
Right. Also, I want to say regarding these games that are being delisted, this is me speaking for me. I don't speak for Garrett. Garrett may feel differently. For the creator that is putting their game up on their own site, definitely go and get it from them. However, if WB is not giving the rights back to the creators, and the creators and WB are, or if WB is delisting them and not allowing you to get them, and if the creators themselves are not posting them up anywhere for you to get them because WB told them not to, steal them. Steal them from WB. Who cares? They don't care. And at least somebody is still playing them.
They're just taking stuff down.
Steal them. Take them. Torn them. I don't care. Do it.
Yeah. It's just so bonkers to think that, like, yeah, at a moment, oh, okay, yeah, that game is gone. Boom. Like,
it's gone.
It. And then,
there's no way for you to buy it. There's no way for you to buy it. There's no way for the company to sell it to you because WB will not let them sell it to you. Take it.
Yeah. Unless there's physical copies made of the game, which a lot of these games probably not. You know,
don't.
Because they're indie titles that were developed or published by Adult Swim Games. So it's like, I'm sure a lot of them didn't have physical releases. So it's like, yeah, when's it gone? It's gone. It's like, man, I hope some of the other studios do follow suit where they do release them.
Just put it up for free.
Either on their website or get it up on Steam. But to go back to the point too about Adult Swim saying, like, hey, if you're going to re-release the game, you have to take out any mention of Adult Swim Games.
Okay.
That first guy I read a story made a really good point. Like Molinari, he said, he's like, some of those people at Adult Swim Games did a lot of hard work. They were just as much a part of making the game and making the game possible as our studio was. Imagine having your name scrubbed from the credits because some corporation said to do it. That would be like, if I was on the team, if I was working for WB and working on one of those indie games and my name was in the credits, I would be so proud of that, and to have that scrubbed.
Right.
Yeah, it's a small.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
it's a small
okay.
little game. So like, man, but how, like, that would just be, I would be so pissed. I would be so mad. Like, are you kidding?
You want it scrubbed? You own it. You do it. You scrub it. I don't own it. You own it. You want it scrubbed? You want yourself off of it? Take yourself off of it. I'm not taking you off for something that I don't own. Now, if you want to give it back to me, there's, of course, stipulations, like you said, where if people want to have themselves credited on the game, they should be allowed to have themselves credited. Telling people to take people off is crazy when they did work already, just like you just said.
You know what I would do?
That's wild.
If I was Molinari, and so WB is like, hey, yeah, you can go ahead and republish the game on Steam, but just scrub Adult Swim Games from it. What I would do is just in that part of the credits, just make it look like a marker and just like cross out the logo, but leave all the names and just like cross out the logo. Be like, hey, these people still work on the game.
Or maybe there's some way that you can like,
it's just like a scribble, you know, like over Adult Swim, but all the names are still there. Cause like those people, like, they did hard work, you know?
Maybe there's a way that you can make the people who worked on it, if they want to, be like honorary members of your development team.
Just like a special,
so that
thanks,
way you can,
like an extra super special thanks section where it's just like,
yeah, hey, so you could put their names and what they did that way. They don't have to mention Adult Swim. There has to be ways around it.
Oh, I'm sure there's ways around it. And that, like, cause they, yeah, again, that just seems wild. Like, imagine any other industry doing that, like for music or for like movies. That just blows my mind. Like, imagine a movie coming out years later. I mean, I guess,
It's been done.
Even within the games industry, I guess. Like, I just think of, like, not that to that extent, but I just think of, like, Konami, once they got rid of Kojima. Like, you go back and, like, when Metal Gear Solid 5 first came out, the boxes said a Kojima game on the front, and then, like, soon
as
they got
kicked
out, they booted, they, you know, erased it from the box art and everything. Like, his name is, like, yeah, his name is still in the credits, but it's not, like, all over the place where it normally was, so...
there have been some game studios that if you work less than a certain amount of time on a game, you don't get your name in the credits. That's insanity. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And this feels just like that.
Yeah.
Like, this is another instance of that kind of manipulative, controlling, I don't know, what's the word? Spiteful, almost?
Yeah.
It feels like?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah. It's almost just like, which is weird, because what do they have to be? What vendetta do they have against these developers?
That's the weird part.
Like Adult Swim still exists, right?
Yeah.
So what?
Absolutely.
Why are they acting like Adult Swim doesn't exist anymore? Like, that's the wild thing.
Well, because I'm trying to figure out, what do you lose by turning the rights back over to the person if you're not gonna sell it anymore?
Well, that's the weird thing. They're giving the rights to them. They're just not willing to do the work to transfer the Steam ownership.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what all these developers are saying. They're like, we still have the rights. Like, we can republish the game ourselves, but they just don't have like the key from Steam to say, hey, this is our game, which is
right.
So it's like, but, so they're having to re-upload the source code basically when it's already there. It's like, just let us use what's already there. What's already uploaded. Like, don't make us start over. Don't make us start build this community from scratch. Like,
maybe Valve charges charges Adult Swim for transferring a key. That's the only thing I can.
All right,
think
then Adult Swim just sends an invoice to the indie studio and says, "Hey, Steam charges this. You pay for it. And if they want to go through with it, then they'll pay it. And if they don't, then WB
that's
just
fair.
Doesn't.
That's like, fair.
At least give the option. But the fact that they're not and they're attributing it to like." Because of, like, a lack of resources, it's like, no, you just feel like you're not getting paid enough to do the three clicks, like the guy said. Like, he's just like, he doesn't want to take the 30 seconds to do some clicks and transfer it over for no reason. So sad. It's sad. I don't know what's going on over there, WB, but between the live service thing and now this, I'm like, bonkers, crazy. I don't know what they're thinking.
What are we
over
doing, man?
The movie stuff, Batgirl, Coyote versus Acme. It's like, man,
I don't want to give them any more time.
Yeah,
with this stupidity.
All right. Well, with that, then we can move on to the last news story. Then, a little more somber news here. Last week, Akira Toriyama, creator of Dragon Ball and manga pioneer, dies at 68. This is an article from IGN written by Isaiah Colbert. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball and the artist behind Dragon Quest, Chrono Trigger, and numerous other works, has died. He was 68. News of Toriyama's passing was made public by the official Dragon Ball Z Twitter account on March 7th. According to the statement, Toriyama died due to an acute subdural hematoma. Don't ask me what that is, but I'm sure it was...
It's when blood gets inside your skull.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And kind of balloons up. Like, you know, a hematoma is like a big...
Okay. Because I was curious, because I was like, oh man, was this something that was was it one of those things like, oh yeah, it was, he was sick for a while, or was it a surprise? And
no.
So, okay. So that kind of answered the question. It was kind of like surprise.
Yeah. You're more susceptible to it with age, which probably is what happened to him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's sad.
It's not something that can, you know, you have a history of.
Yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. Sad. So sad. It's our deep regret that he still had several works in the middle of creation with great enthusiasm. Also, he would have many more things to achieve, Bird Studio and Capsule Corporation Tokyo wrote in the tweet. However, he has left many manga titles and works of art to this world. Thanks to the support of so many people around the world, he has been able to continue his creative activities over 45 years. We hope that Akira Toriyama's unique world of creation continue to be loved by everyone for a long time to come. Toriyama first broke into the manga industry at the age of 23 when he entered an amateur manga creator contest in Kodansha's weekly Shonen magazine. From there, Toriyama made a name for himself with a serialization of the beloved gag manga Dr. Slump in 1980. In 1984, Toriyama published the seminal fantasy action comedy Shonen Battle series Dragon Ball, which would later spawn the immensely popular Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super series. Dragon Ball's influence later inspired others like Eiichiro Oda.
The list is too long.
I can never say his name right. Eiichiro Oda, Tite Kubo, and
You're doing good.
Masashi Kishimoto to create One Piece, Bleach, Naruto, and classics. Toriyama also played an influential role in gaming history, his art serving as the basis for Dragon Quest, one of the very first console RPGs in Japan. In the mid-90s, Toriyama famously teamed with Dragon Quest creator Hoji Hori and Final Fantasy creator Hironobu Sakaguchi to make Chrono Trigger, which is still considered one of the finest games ever made. The last project Toriyama was reportedly working on was the original character designs for the upcoming Dragon Ball Z spinoff series, Dragon Ball Daima. Its story follows the adventures of the chibi-stylized Goku and Vegeta's adventures in Dragon Ball's whimsical world, Sandland, a game based on another one of Toriyama's works, is due to release in April. During a panel in New York Comic Con 2023, Daima executive producer Akio Iyoko told the crowd that Toriyama was deeply involved beyond his usual capacity, overseeing Daima's story, character design, and more. Additionally, Toriyama has planned entirely new episodes for the storyline, so please look forward to the start of the series, Iyoko said. Dragon Ball Daima is slated to release in the fall of 2024. What a absolute legend.
What a heartbreaker.
Yeah, man. Wild. Such a, I mean, he had an incredible career, a full life. Like, I'll give him that much. Still young. 68 seems young.
I was going to say, that's still pretty young.
But, man, he did have an incredible 45-year career. Like, just everything that they listed there is legendary status. Like, banger after banger after banger. Like, I not one of those things they mentioned. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that was an iffy thing. Like, no, everything so far has been like, no. All the Dragon Quest games are, like, love. People love those games. All Chrono Trigger is one of the greatest games of all time, you know? One of the, like, the top RPGs. Dragon Ball. I've never watched Dragon Ball myself, but, like, beloved by so many people. So, crazy. Silks in the chat says, Dragon Quest XI is the greatest RPG in my eyes. Yeah. So
I'm not going to fight you on that one. I can't fight you on that one. That's a fair pick. Toriyama, I got so bummed out when I found out about this dude. I was bummed out for a few days.
Yeah.
I know my story's not unique at all, but if it were not for that man, I don't know how many life-changing stories and movies and games and series I would have missed out on had, you know, Dragon Ball not come on Toonami, and I hadn't seen it as a youngster and kind of stepped my foot through the doorway of manga and anime and things of that nature. I don't think at all that it's an exaggeration to say that man, as far as his impact, was probably one of the greatest artists, period. Not like of his time, not of, you know, the last 15, no, period. Like, when word got out about him passing, it's still going to this day, or to right now, that it was on the 8th, right? It's the 11th, it's 3 days, and my timeline is still flooded with people who you would never suspect were into Toriyama's work, coming out, expressing their condolences and talking about how much his work inspired them to do what they do or to make what they make. Or, and I'm talking about people who do art, people who do music, anything. People who overcame illnesses were inspired. You know, just there's so many stories and yeah, memories and all this stuff created because of the things that he's made, right? So I don't think that there's any way that you can overstate the impact that he's had. And, you know, bringing it back to the realm of gaming, just like we were talking about, to be instrumental and to be part of what I describe as the 95 Chicago Bulls of video games, which is like, you know, the classic Jordan Rodman Pippen, you know, championship team, to create one of the greatest games, which is still considered to this day one of the greatest games ever made. And to just be like, yeah, that was a good game. You know, we made it. Not a big deal. And then go on from day one to design what would become the definitive style Bible for the Dragon Quest series. They still use his, they use him every time for every Dragon Quest game.
Yeah.
To do the design work. And that's what, over 36, 35 years ago now? And people the world over know what Dragon Quest is.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, yeah, man, it's, what a, it, what a.
Seeing, I right there with you with like mentioned, like just the outpouring on social media. Celebrities and people pass away often every year. Like it happens a lot. There's a lot of people like, holy smokes, that person died. But I feel like a lot of times it's like a day or so and then it just fizzles out. This has been one of those people that it just blows my mind the impact he had. And like you said, to this, like already 3-4 days in, and like people just keep sharing these just incredible stories, whether it's experiences, yeah, with his games, with his art, with his whatever it might be, and how it affected them.
That's artists that we revere,
yeah,
that we think are fantastic. They're all like, no, bro, he inspired me to do what I do. I think the way you think of me is how I think of him, and yeah, that's insane to me.
Yeah, that's so this whole thing, like even though I didn't have a deep connection with him, like really I wasn't into Dragon Ball as a kid. Like my only experience really and just recently was Chrono Trigger, like, and I was blown away by that, you know. It's just like I already like had a very high opinion of him, and then to like, yeah, it's just been really neat to hear so many other people's stories and experiences and thoughts about this man. And yeah, I don't know, he's a legend. It's sad to see him go, especially in the midst of projects, like not to even see the final product of this thing,
man.
Like
that sucks.
New show coming out, new game coming out. But yeah, I just hope they can really nail it, you know, even without him there, and just
make
in
it okay.
And in his memory, you know, like I hope, yes, they just really just, all right, let's get this dialed in and we're going to knock out of the park for him, you know?
Dragon Quest 12 is going to be the last Dragon Quest that he's going to have a hand in. And it's going to, I'm scared to finish that one, because now we're going to have a whole new hand in the design of the game might rapidly change. Because yeah, now we're gonna have to find somebody else.
You would hope not, just because it was, you know, his DNA is so intertwined with everything in there. But yeah, you never know. It could completely drastically change next time. So yeah. Sad news, yeah, but thankful for all we did get from him, all his just incredible art that he's just bettered the world with over the years. All right, and with that, I think that's it for our Nerdy Nudes this week. And this feels really weird to do, but now it's time for our Patreon ad.
Hey, Toriyama's dead. How about we sell you some stuff?
Dang it. All right, this is the part of the show where I tell you to go over to patreon.com/supergamerboy, support us over there starting at just $1 a month. That's right, $1 gets you episodes early and ad-free, such as this show, as well as our Patreon exclusive. Shut up, Selks. It says shill. Dang it. Oh, man, you get episodes early and ad-free, and our Patreon exclusive show, Super Later Boys. Sorry, I was just thinking, I was like, man, we could have totally ordered that way better. We could have done the Toriyama news at the top and then WB. Anyways, yeah, if you want our Patreon exclusive show, Super Later Boys, we have a lot of fun doing that. We have some special guests on. We a lot of times still end up talking about video games, but we try our best to just have other topics of discussion on there as well. So that's a fun show if you're looking for just hear more from us than just about video games. So a lot more laid back, a lot more chill, a lot more just me and Adrian and guest hanging out and shooting the breeze. So $1 a month, you can get that, as well as early access and ad-free access to this show if you don't want to hear me ramble and chill right now after such a somber news story. Sucks as fix it in post, no big deal. Yeah, but that takes work. you can also support us at $5 a month, where you can get the previous perks as well as show notes of the show. So if you want to know what we're going to be talking about ahead of time, leave your own questions, comments, concerns, thoughts, games you've been playing, answers to the listener questions, whatever it might be, you can have your voice heard here on the show. You can leave those comments right on the dock, read them here on the air. So if you want to have a little more behind the scenes peek, a little more access to having your voice heard, think about supporting us at that $5 level. $10 a month, you can be a Super Gamer sponsor, get a shout out at the top of each and every episode, as well as all those previous perks. Shout out from the rooftops that you love Super Gamer Boys and help us keep making cool things. And then the top dog tier, $15 a month, you can get all those previous perks and you can pitch us a segment, and we might have it here on the show. We've had Kajoma's Card Game Corner. Adrian used to have Super Indie Boys. Back in the day, we had Losing Reviews. We had Tall Tales with JJ. We've had a little D&D segment for a little bit, I think also by Matt Liu back in the day. So if you have any ideas for like a fun segment for the show or a new show altogether, whatever it might be, think about supporting us at $15 a month, pitching that segment. You can be a part of it. We appreciate all of our supporters, because without them, a lot of this stuff just would not happen. They help keep the lights on. They help us buy games so we can talk about them here on the show. They help us buy equipment to just do the show, microphones, lights, cameras, whatever it might be. So thank you to all those who do support us, and those who's thinking about it, head over to patreon.com/supergamerboys. You can also support us at sgbstore.com. You can buy some merch. We got t-shirts, we got hoodies, we got stickers, we got coffee mugs, we got hats. Go check it out. Every little bit helps over there. We try to keep the prices down so we don't make a ton off the merch items, but again, every little bit helps. So the more items you buy, that adds up and helps show your love to the world that you love Super Gamer Boys, and hopefully they check it out too. Last but not least, you can subscribe to us on Twitch. If you are watching at twitch.tv/thesupergamerboys, you can support us over here for free. If you have an Amazon Prime account, you can link it to your Twitch account and use your free Prime gaming sub each and every month. You do have to remember to do it. It doesn't go automatically, but each and every month, head over to our channel, twitch.tv/thesupergamerboys. Click that subscribe button. Click on use free sub. Cost you $0. That's right, $0. We get $5 out of it. So it's a free $5 you can just poof into existence, right into our pockets, and we appreciate it. Gives you access to ad-free viewing over here. You can use our emotes across Twitch. And again, help support us keep making cool things for you. So think about dropping us up. We'd appreciate it. And with that, I think it's now time to get back to the show. All right, Adrian, we're back. And I gotta ask you this very important question. What you playing?
What am I playing? What am I not playing? I don't know if you heard, my good man, but this past week, the first ever catalog sale kicked off for the Playdate.
Oh, I saw that. I got the email
and
about
let
it.
Let me tell you, my friend.
Okay.
I went nuts. I bought a ton of games that I've had my eye on for the longest time, at least 10 or 11. I wish I could go through the list of them, but I've been popping in and out of them. And you know what? I guess I can give you a little exclusive. So there's another game coming out tomorrow called Mars After Midnight, where you help monsters and aliens out with whatever issues they have going on. You're kind of like a counseling / detective agency in a way.
Okay.
And aliens come to visit you and they're like, hey, I got this, you know, issue going on. Can you help me out with it? And then you go, you know, throughout the town or whatever task that they need you to do to help them. So that comes out tomorrow, and you best believe your boy is going to be streaming it tomorrow night.
Ooh, baby. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. It's made by Lucas Pope.
Oh, has he made another game?
Yeah, he made quite a few.
He sounds familiar.
Lucas
Pope. I need to look it up.
Uh-huh.
Because I feel like I've played one of his games.
You have.
Papers, Please.
Yep.
Dude. And okay. Return to the Oberdin.
Oberdin. That's right.
There's a bunch more here, but those are the two most well-known ones. Okay.
Right.
I was like, that name sounds familiar, and that is why.
Yeah, so this is his big new project. It's only coming. It's exclusive to Playdate, so if you want to see a game that you won't be able to play anywhere but there, you better meet me here tomorrow night.
Okay. I might. Yeah, I'll need to drop in and check it out, because I really liked what I played at Papers, Please. That game was so much fun. Such a blast. So I can only imagine what kind of shenanigans he comes up with on the Playdate. Oh, man. Honestly, just... when's he porting Papers, Please to the Playdate? That'd be amazing.
You joke? But he very well could.
That would be awesome. Oh, man.
But yeah, man, I've got so many games, it's making my head spin. So it'd take me forever to go through them. But the real question is, what are you playing?
What am I playing? Oh, you guys all know what I'm playing. I am playing some more of that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yes, sir.
I gave you all the update last week. I was about 7 hours in. I think now I'm about 12 or 13. So almost double the amount I was last week. And I'm now in chapter 4, I believe. I was in chapter 2. I'm up to chapter 4. Okay. And I'm in the next area. So the way they've broken up the open world is like regions or area. So you start in the grasslands. Now I'm in Junin. And boy, let me tell you, this game. Junon? Is that what it is?
Uh-huh.
Okay. This game is just not slowing down. I mean, as far as like how hyped I am about it. It pace-wise, because of the open world, like obviously there's slow points and there's missions that are just like not as exciting. But what I mean is, like, even with that, I'm still not bored of it. I'm still going through and 100%ing everything and still enjoying it. I'm like, yeah, just shy of like 14 hours. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good still. I'm good doing this. Where that's not the case with a lot of games. There's a lot of games that are open world where very quickly I get burnt out on the whole do everything quest, you know? I usually like, I do it because my brain's broken and I'm a freaking completionist and can't help myself. But I very quickly get like, okay, this is not enjoyable. Where this so far, I love how they intermix some fresh new storylines within each of the repetitive tasks to kind of help keep those things like still it overall fun, like, and exciting, and having different regions, like the region's different too. So like, all right, the type of chocobo I just got's a little bit different, and there's the world looks different, and there's just a totally different map. So it's almost like playing a whole new game. Like, okay, I finished Grasslands, now I'm in Junon, and it's like, all right, cool. This is a new game, baby. Like, I'm doing some of the same task, but it's a new area, a new map to find, to explore and all this stuff. And man, I'm just having a blast. Like, I can't get enough of it. I haven't been able to play as much as I wanted to. My parents were in town, like I said before. So, been busy with having them around, but I love playing remote play on my Steam Deck. Let me tell you, I think I mentioned this on Discord, but I'm like, anyone who buys the PlayStation Portal is on drugs. Like, there's something wrong with them. Like, they either buy it like in a hazy high state where they're just like not with it 100%, like not all mentally there, or I don't know, or they're just crazy.
I mean, the Steam Deck is two portals put together price wise, so you do have to
if you buy the OLED, yeah, but if you buy just like the standard, you can buy the 64 gig, it's still available for like $100 more. Not only do you get remote play, which is a free app, by the way, you can download on your phone right now for free. You don't have to even buy a Steam Deck if you don't want to, or a Portal. You can just download a free, but you have access to PlayStation, the remote play app on the 64 gig Steam Deck. But then you open up an entire library of the Steam library. And it just blows my mind that people would, I don't know, buy the Portal. Don't buy the Portal. What are you doing?
Please don't.
There's no reason for it. It's,
you already see they're just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks, right? That's why VR flopped. Don't buy Sony stuff right now, please.
If you need remote play and you want to do it on a budget, just use your phone app. If you have...
Get a backbone.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say is just use the phone app, because you can just use your DualSense controller with that. Or if you have a little bit of money, buy a backbone for $100. And if you have a little bit more money, buy the Steam Deck. you know? And if you have a lot of money, get the Steam Deck OLED. And then it's beautiful too, because I think,
right,
from what I can tell, I think the HDR works. I think the HDR is active. Really? I think. For sure, the color, like, obviously the OLED does a lot of work. So it already looks gorgeous, uh-huh, because of that. But because of the monitor I'm using is an HDR monitor, I'm thinking, like, down here in my office, my PlayStation's already outputting HDR colors and display. So I think when it,
right,
because there is HDR on the OLED, the Steam Deck OLED. So I think, I don't know. I've just noticed a lot of times, like, not only are, like, the darks and the brights, like, just so, I don't know, it's more than just the colors. Like, there's really great contrast with the darks and the brights areas of the map. So I could be completely wrong, but either way, it looks amazing. I'm getting the 60 FPS, just because it's all over the home area network, and it's just a thing of beauty. It's a thing of beauty. And it is, I as much as typically I'm a huge Sony fan, in this instance, I almost, like, feel like it's my duty to become an anti-Portal advocate. I'm becoming like, I think of, like, Metal Gear Solid 2, like, what's, they're the anti Metal Gear organization. I'm like an anti PlayStation Portal organization. I'm gonna start my own, like, nonprofit stopping people from playing the Portal. And it's just like, it's either a free app on your phone, or just, if you do have the money, just buy the Steam Deck. Don't do that. It's so good. Sorry, I was distracted by someone.
No,
in the
that's
chat.
Okay.
I was distracted by someone in the chat. I'm not sure what they're asking. I don't know if you want to check that out, Adrian, see what that's about. Yeah.
Let me see. You go ahead.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, though. Amazing game, 10 out of 10. And I'm still playing the Helldivers too. I've been playing, although I was supposed to, I just wanted to give a big PSA. I want to apologize. Last Thursday, I was supposed to stream. It's my stream night. And I tried to stream. Actually, in fact, if you were part of our Discord, you probably got 3 billion notifications. And I apologize for that, because we try to use the everyone tag as sparingly as possible. But every time that my... that, you know, we go live, the Discord notifies you know, everyone that's happening. I was having such bad internet issues. I thought they were solved. I got a new modem. I thought it was better, but then I realized it was actually some OBS settings that got changed somehow, and it screwed me over.
OBS, the bane of our existence, man.
So I had, like, just some amazing, like, I was gonna, yeah, stream Helldivers 2 with Nate and Dan. They joined me again. It's gonna be a blast. And then instead, man, I just got so pissed off. I was so mad. I finally just quit. Like, at one point my internet went out and I was just like, F it, I'm done. Like, I'm just out of here. And I was a little salty the rest of the night. I feel bad for Dan and Nate, who had to deal with me the rest of the night. But Helldivers 2, fantastic game. I finally hit level 15.
Good.
Finally hit level 15. So I unlocked, like, some awesome new stratagems. There's a big jump. When you hit 15, there's a big jump in what you can unlock and purchase now. So I'm like, okay, there's some cool stuff I can get a hold of now. So I'm really...
The game's really going now.
Really excited. I cannot wait. Actually, I think even tomorrow night I might be diving in with them later, which, Adrian, if you're free to join. Although I know you go to bed early. That's what happened last Thursday. Last Thursday, I asked you, like, 5 minutes before I was going to go live. I'm like, Adrian, you want to join us? But I told them, I was like, I bet you he says no, because you go to bed so early. You're like, you're an early riser. You got to get up early for work.
I am a very early riser.
So
I was pretty bummed out about Toriyama too. I didn't really want to do anything, unfortunately.
Yeah, of course. So, but yeah, tomorrow I was thinking, like, oh, we're gonna be playing tomorrow. And I'm like, we don't start until like 9:30, and you've already at that point would have been streaming for a couple hours. Like, you're gonna be ready to just hit it. But,
yep, I'll just be getting done helping some aliens do things. Unfortunately,
exactly.
Just update real quick before we go any further. It looks like they're asking about breakfast sandwiches and wraps.
Okay. Interesting.
They're asking, how do you what's your build, and what do you do to maintain the flavor throughout
the
creation and a balance between ingredients.
I see.
I would probably say layers.
Yes.
You don't want to put everything everywhere, but if you layer everything, then you get a little bit of everything in every bite.
100%. And,
you know,
spreading any like liquid condiments like mayo or mustard, or whatever, like spreading it evenly throughout. Don't just like squirt and then wrap it up, because then you're going to have these pockets of like too much. Like you have to take the time, take a spatula, or take a knife and actually like spread it nice and thin. You keep that condiment consistent and the moisture consistent. And you got to mix in those dry ingredients with the wet. So like for every like dry thing, make sure you have like a little lettuce in there to balance it or whatnot.
Also, if you're doing a breakfast wrap, spend the money. Okay. Spend the money on the wrap and get the good high quality wraps so that they don't rip when you use them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you get that like that's a little bacon in there. It's kind of like sharp and pointy, tear right through that thing. You got a mess in your hands. Absolute mess.
Or double wrap them if you have to. But if you can, get the good wraps.
Get the good wraps. And shout out to Uncle Gamer real quick. Finally catching alive, though YouTube failed to notify me. Make sure you've got that bell rung. If you're over on YouTube, ring that bell. Make sure you get those notifications when we go live. Then you'll know. All right. I think that's all I have for tonight. We've talked about it all. We talked about Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. We've talked about Helldivers 2. We talked about popcorn. And now we've talked about wraps, how to make the best wraps. So there's not much more left to talk about, I guess.
Video games.
Oh, yeah. We talked about video games, too. That's right. We're a video game podcast. Oh, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in live on Monday nights, catching it later on Wednesday on YouTube and podcast services. And those of you who support us over at... Oh, Selks. He's...
No, don't let him derail you. We're almost there.
No, keep going. Yeah, hang on. I'll save it. I'm going to say it, but just give me a minute. thank you so much to all you support us over on patreon.com/supergamerboys. We appreciate you all. We appreciate the heck out of you. You guys are awesome. So if you want to be awesome, just like those folks, think about heading over to patreon.com/supergamerboys. Also, we just got raided.
No, we're getting raided at
the
end.
We just got raided during the outro. David.
And they had a gang of people here. David, oh, no.
You did it again. You raided as we're leaving. It's fine. It's all right. We can pass on the love. Everyone who's listening on YouTube and podcast later, they're going to be like, what the heck is he talking about? Join us on a Monday night stream. anyways, patreon.com/supergamerboys. Support us over there starting at just $1 a month. We appreciate it. SGB store.com. You can buy our merch, get some t-shirts, get some mugs, get some stickers. We got some sick dad hats. Go check it out. SGBstore.com. We'd appreciate it if you support us over there. Rate and review us where you can. Apple Podcasts is great. Spotify is great. Shout out to Jack Sriracha and Yatai for allowing us to use their music, and DJ Truce. He's awesome. But this time around, we're listening to Jack Sriracha and Yatai. They're all amazing. Find them over on Spotify and Apple Music. And you can find us during the week at supergamerboys.com, Twitter and Instagram at supergamerboys. Find me during the week at Twitter and Instagram at gmorlang. Adrian, where can they find you at?
You can find me any and everywhere at Homeboy.
And I just wanna also just address, apparently David didn't want to raid us, but he did anyways. So I don't know, was it more of like it was an accident, or like he's sick of me? He's like, forget this. Like that freaking guy, can't stand that dude. Get out of here. It's probably more like that. I know David fairly well. I've watched a lot of his streams. That's probably more like it. He's a pretty aggressive dude, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, some of the people in here are saying that they forced him to do that. Okay, well, here's the deal. Next time, force him to do it at like maybe 7:45, 7:50.
When the episode starts.
Somewhere around there, so you can get a good chunk of the stream in. Then you might want to stick around for a little bit, you know?
I do have to, let me finish my monologue here real quick with a quote from Selks from the chat. And he says, that's a wrap.
You should have saved it for the very end.
For the very end?
Yeah, you know how the flippity flop, and then we always say something at the end?
Okay, I'll save it for the end. Everyone just forget I said that. No. I'm just Men in Black. I'm just, there you go. Flash y'all. No one ever heard that. All right, go ahead, Adrian. I'm done.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, folks, thank you for hanging out with us for another week of the Super Gamer Boys podcast. As always, we appreciate any and every form of support that you can give us, whether that be just listening or telling your third cousin twice removes dentist about our podcast. Yeah, we couldn't do it without you, and we appreciate everybody who is here and showing us support. And that's pretty much all I got. So until next time, we are the Super Gamer Boys.
And we'll catch you on the flippity flop.
Now you can say it's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Did I do it right, Adrian? Is that how we end a podcast? Adrian, hey, did you hang up on me? Is that it?
Turn it off. Fade it out.